This is Twit.
Facebook.
The surprise.
Facebook says, actually, Facebook doesn't say it. The Wall Street Journal says it. So maybe this is suspect. They say Facebook has known that Instagram is toxic for teens, but didn't do anything about it. Company documents show its own in-depth research, a significant teen mental health issue that Facebook plays down in public. I guess I probably should go to you, Mr. Moral Panic. Anything to say about this?
It's what I always say in this case. We need more data out of them, and they're foolish not to get it out so we know. And that's why you get leaks like this. What I read from people about this is that from the researchers, that researchers I know people inside Facebook who try to bring these things out and try to improve them and try to fix them and know what's going on. And then they get stopped by politics and economy. And that's the disturbing part of this. That's the difficult part. But from a research perspective, every researcher I've seen just is dying to get their hands on this kind of data so we can know. I, as some people hate anything Facebook does, I'm rather the same way about Rupert Murdoch. So I do come to it with suspicion from a journal perspective, but that doesn't mean that there isn't something here.
It looks like there's some good journalism, and they have some deep sources.
So
now I have to point out that
something.
Yeah, go ahead.
This isn't Facebook the site. This is Instagram.
Instagram, yes.
Facebook's
thank you,
owned.
Very important.
Facebook's
very important.
Owned Instagram. Yes. And I should point out that magazines have done this to young girls, particularly, but women in general, for years. This is nothing.
Yeah, my wife's reaction is that, you know, I mean, Facebook didn't invent eighth grade girls being awful to each other.
But you know, it did invent showing them these photos all the time. So here's current parent of a teen girl.
Yep.
Yeah, you have such a wide variety. And I will say, okay, I had an eating disorder. It is not solely because you look at pictures. It is a function of anxiety, is a function of trying to control your life. I will say that the internet and social media has made it very difficult for girls in particular. Mm-hmm. There is so much research. It's not solely related to Instagram or Facebook about how unhealthy these things can be for them. It'd be really interesting to look at it in the context of the pandemic because they've lost their true social outlet. Now it's just online.
They don't see normal girls at all anymore. Yeah.
Stacey, can I just say something for a second?
An easy way to point the finger at Instagram because they are so big and make it so accessible, this content.
They can make it worse.
It's also, I do think magazine editors, when you told them, magazine editors came out and started working on things like body positivity. Yes, it took time, but they listened. They talked about photoshopping. There's a huge backlash that in response to the research that people were doing, showing how it affected young girls, right? Instagram and Facebook are not willing to say, oh, this is true. And honestly, I don't know if it's because it's kind of a misogynistic culture there that just doesn't care. I mean, they're clearly not focused on the well-being of people on the platform, right? But I mean, there is a benefit to a bunch of unhappy girls spending a lot of time wanting to be something else and spending that time visualizing that through their platform.
What would be even worse is if they were using it to advertise to those girls things like, you know, diet supplements and exercise plans and other products designed to play into that, which I wouldn't be at all surprised that they are. I think Facebook, and by the way, I completely defer to Stacey on this. She's a mother. She's a woman, first of all, and she's the mother of a young girl. So she is the expert on this. I would say Facebook is an order of magnitude difference from a magazine, or not Facebook, but Instagram. Facebook too, but Instagram. When you're looking at Instagram, you're looking at people you think are like you. You think in your mind they're your peers, and when you see them in beautiful environments, in having a great time,
parties, and friends,
and they look great and they have chiseled abs and all of that stuff. I think it's worse than seeing a star, a celebrity in a magazine. I think it's really even worse.
And they are your friends.
Those are the same stars from the magazines.
Stacey, go ahead.
Oh, no, but on Instagram, a lot of these girls are following their friends or their friends of friends, and they're following their boyfriend liked a girl in a bikini, and so they got to follow that girl, because who the heck is that?
Yeah, that's a good point. It may even be your friends, even if there's this. So, I mean, the evidence, according to this research, 32% of teen girls said, and this is interesting, when they felt bad about their bodies, they already felt that way, to your point, Stacey. Instagram made them feel worse.
Yeah.
The real issue is among teens who reported suicidal thoughts, 13% of British users, 6% of American users traced the desire to kill themselves to Instagram. That's really serious. You know, feeling bad about how you look or feeling bad about your body, maybe, you know, eating disorders are one thing, but suicide's another. That's a permanent.
Yeah.
Well, in suicide, I mean, there's so much research already out there about how, like, if someone kills themselves in a school, others will tend to do that. It's epidemic. Yep. So when your community is online, it's wider reaching, but they still feel like your community, and that can be a real problem. Just like, oh, well, this person, you know, did it. And they get the attention, they get the outpouring of grief. They probably, if you're suicidal too, they ended the pain that you don't see an end to. So there's
these numbers from Wall Street Journal. I have no reason not to believe them. 40% of Instagram's users are 22 years old and younger. 22 million teens log into Instagram every day, compared to 5 million on Facebook. Facebook is, of course, losing young people. Right. But Instagram is where many of them have gone. Teens in the U.S. spend 50% more times on Instagram than they do on Facebook. So that's why we're really focused on Instagram in this case.
You know, I look at this stuff and the first thing that comes to my mind is where are the parents when it comes to these different influences out there? I know what Instagram is doing or has allegedly done is pretty craptastic in feeding this content out there. When they have all of the control of the algorithm, they're feeding the stuff out there that's going to get the likes and the activity and keep people on the platform, because that's their job. That's where they make their money, you know. But at the same time, where is mom, dad, or uncle, or whomever to say, hey, you know, none of that's real, right? That person is totally faking. So love you for who you are. You know, why doesn't that get talked about?
So, first, I want to thank Stacey very sincerely here for sharing. Nothing, you know, makes us expect you to do that. And for you to have just shared that, I think is generous, because it tells people that they're not alone. And that there is a beyond, and I think that's critical. And I don't want to invade the privacy of my own loved ones. But in some response to you, Ant, as Stacey just said, it's bigger than one cause. It's not caused by that. It can be made worse. But there's so much pressure. What we're doing to our children today. In the anxiety is raised. It's been raised for some time, and look at things like the college entrance scandal. Look at the testing and what we do to people. Look at all kinds of measures of trying to perform, whether it's socially, athletically, academically, collegially, whatever it is. The pressure we're putting our kids under these days is awful, and they're cracking under it, and. Mm. We can't look at one cause. You're right. Parents have responsibility here. But even if we turned off, even if you took away their phone tomorrow, those anxieties and those pressures are there. Now, again, I'm going to emphasize.
I agree that
Facebook making it worse, Instagram making it worse, is something we got to look at. And I put a thread up from a researcher. The researchers, let's put the researchers I respect here, Isabel. I'm forgetting her name. Gerard, I think her name is. Saying we can't invent interventions. We can't figure out what to do about this unless we have the data to make suggestions. And to me, that's the real scandal here, is that we can't get the data out of these companies because they are scared, because they're going to show some things that are bad. But they've got to, government's going to come after them to get it. So they've got to figure out how to get researchers involved so we can try to understand the full impact, so we can try to create appropriate interventions. And now that's nigh unto impossible.
Facebook, when asked by the Senate to hand over some of this information, they told the senators that its internal research is proprietary and, quote, kept confidential to promote frank and open dialogue and brainstorming internally. This was in response to Richard Blumenthal and Marsha Blackburn in a letter they sent to Mark Zuckerberg some months ago. Blumenthal said Facebook's answers were so evasive, failing to even respond to all our questions, they really raised questions about what Facebook might be hiding.
Yeah.
Adam Mosseri, who's the head of Instagram, says, Instagram, we don't send research out to regulators on a regular basis for a number of reasons. But he added Facebook should figure out a way to share high-level overviews of what the company is learning and wanted to give external researchers access to Facebook's data. We know how that went with another set of data. We talked about that.
Well, the privacy regulations did get in the way.
Sure. I completely understand, troubling for parents, troubling for, everybody. I've always seen this as a problem in social media in general, is that people always show the best slice of their life.
And so, as in media.
Yeah. And I spend a lot of time counseling my own kids who've grown up with social media, counseling them not to pair their insides with other people's outsides, because you're not seeing that's apples to oranges. You're not seeing the troubles those people have. Go ahead, Stacey.
Oh, I was going to they also cater to a community. So a lot of these, what happens is you become known for something and then that becomes your personality. Like you hear all the kids that are like, okay, liking pumpkin spice lattes is not your whole personality, right? But it does. It's because they're driving after a demographic that, like, if it's on TikTok, it's a certain demographic. If it's on Instagram, it's this set of people, right? This hashtag. So then you're not only curating, you're not necessarily curating your best self. You're curating the self that gets you the attention you think you want. And I think that's a really important thing here, because being beautiful and skinny gets you a lot of attention. Being sad and suicidal gets you attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in some sense, you become this, you're rewarded for becoming more this.
Personality. It's about the presentation, not about you.
And then I would also say, just because I think this is an important thing, and also I'm a parent, so I'm sensitive, and you too, Aunt. Kids at this age, you can say, where are the parents? But you can only do so much. And I talk to my daughter, for example, and I'm sure you talk to your sons, but it's developmentally appropriate that they're going to lie to you and do other things, right? Yep. You want
at
them
some
to
point,
do that.
At some point, the control is in there.
After sixth grade, this is research has shown this consistently. After sixth grade, I know this, I've read the research, peers have a much larger influence on kids than their family.
Yeah,
their peer group is everything, and your peer group suddenly now has expanded with this with this kind of social media to a friends of friends of friends of friends. It's a much larger group. That's your peer.
So, I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk to your kids, and you totally should, and you could try to ban Instagram. Although so many social interactions now happen through that, and like. Mm-hmm. So like if you don't get invited to the parties or
I don't know what the answer is. I agree with it. It's very tough.
I don't think
parents can immunize kids against this very effectively. I do not think.
But I do think companies have a role. Like, I do think if Mark Zuckerberg actually gave two flips about this, and maybe he will when his kids grow up, I don't know, then, there are things that you can do. And, you even see this at like, I know on TikTok, they're like, this is a professional person doing this. I don't know if that has any sort of influence, but they're trying to set some things. And I think it's important to be proactive. And they're most assuredly not proactive about any of the potential harms of any of their platforms. Okay, that's all.
Well, Stacey, I think that there are people, this is what troubles me most. There are people inside, and this is what this reveals. There are people inside who were studying this, who were saying that there are issues, who were trying to get used what the data they had and the information they had, who did know things, and it stopped. You know, there are some cases where they don't know. And then we really don't know what influence Facebook had on the election of Donald Trump, I think. But in this case, we see from this that people knew something and tried to do something. And it's the fact that it stopped that troubles me most about the company.
Yeah.
And so at the very least, I think we can all agree that Facebook needs to start handing this research over to researchers. That others need to see this.